to the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Off the Mats Podcast. See, I said it properly this time because I've recorded several times today and I know where the hell I am today now. For this episode, I actually want to welcome and introduce a new guest to the fold, because I've been having, I guess, new guests, but it's been new guests that I've been kind of like hanging out with behind the scenes and like finally convinced them to join the cult that is my podcast. So this guest today actually, we spoke on Instagram, and you know, he's developed an app for your mobile devices, and you know, he reached out and was like, that's a cool idea. You want to come on the podcast and let's talk about that, because I find that shit fascinating. So welcome into the podcast today, inventor of the footwork trainer app on Apple and Android devices, Mr. Isaac Knabel.
Yeah. What's up, Isaac? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thank you for making the time and doing it, especially on a quick turnaround, because we just talked the other day. Normally, yeah. Like, hey, so when can you record? And most of us like, maybe in 3 weeks to a month. I'm like, dude, I am going to forget. So when you're like, yeah, we can do this shit this week. It was like, word.
Almost forgot.
Oh no, trust me. I like I said, I thought I was in the wrong link. I'm sitting here like, I hope I have the right person like set up tonight, because I might be sitting here and someone's probably messaging me on one of the other 12 Instagram accounts. So I'm like, dude, where the fuck you at? And I'm like, dude, I'm waiting for you. It's like, you have the wrong name. So but yeah, Isaac. So thanks for again making the time to do this. And I guess, you know, starting out, the first question I want to know is really, you know, your background in grappling.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was born and raised in Indiana, and I mean, I grew up and playing all sports, but started wrestling when I was about 5 years old, and we had a great, just because my best friends, but we did all sports through school, but we had a great youth club program. I mean, we had great coaches and everything, and just got us excited about the sport. And we traveled, you know, around the state of Indiana, just wrestling freestyle and Greco was the first thing we started in. And then, you know, just kind of fell in love with it. I was pretty bad, you know, several first years, didn't win matches at all. And, you know, typical, but just had a coach that made us fall in love with it. And then through high school, I actually went to a private school in Kentucky and won, had pretty good success in high school, and then won 4 state titles, and then ended up wrestling at Indiana University, IU in Bloomington. And, was a national qualifier, or you know, I love my teams. That's like the thing I'm most grateful for, is from like youth wrestling to like through all the way through college, like the relationships I've built with my teammates and coaches has just been amazing. And so anyway, spent time up at IU, and then was pretty much done with wrestling, ready to just go work construction. And then my old high school coach kept bugging me to come back and coach, and I finally said yes. And then I was just kind of like here and there. I was doing my own construction business, retaining walls and stuff, concrete work. And then met this group, three brothers, the Lampy brothers, and just kind of was going to their house training with them, and just really fell in love with coaching. I mean, they bought in, and you know, it was just fun. And then started coaching high school for about 10 years, and then got a teaching job. And then actually about now I've run my own club for the past 10 years. And my high school coach is actually helps me run my club. So it's me and him, and it's pretty awesome. And then just on the side, kind of have just trying to find ways to help kids and stuff. And that's where the footwork trainer and the Stance of Motion app has kind of come from.
Okay.
That's cool, all in a nutshell, real quick.
No, that's awesome. It's like, it's always fascinating to hear, you know, when people talk about training from such a young age. And then as you go through the years, it's like sometimes you encounter folks that they start young, they get burnt out and they never return to it, or they get burnt out, come back many, many years later. And then just the world has changed, you know, in grappling, whether it be, you know, wrestling, whether it be jiu-jitsu, judo, or anything like that. And it's like, oh my goodness. Like,
yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on? Why? Like,
no, I know.
The world has changed.
Well, I know. And it's like, and the word burnout just in general gets, I mean, new sports is pretty, I mean, you got, like, we need more rec sports back, I think, you know, but there's all different levels of youth sports now where there was only just when we were growing up, you know. I mean, I'm 40 years old, so, like, it was just, I mean, you pretty much did everything when I was growing up. That's just all the boys at my school, all my friends, you know, we had sports in the grade school, and all the teachers coach those sports. Now, not a lot of teachers coach the sports, you know. You got outside parents helping and volunteering and stuff like that, which is great. But it's and that's what I love the most, really, is helping volunteer at my kids' school for anything. So
yeah, I think, you know, the, you know, what you mentioned there with rec sports, needing more rec sports. Like, I've been screaming that for years. Just as a kid, I grew up in Flint, Michigan. Well, I want to say I grew up in Flint, Michigan. I was in Flint, Michigan for a few years. And I remember just all the kids playing, you know, different sports and having a rec center up the street, and you're allowed to go there and play basketball. Yeah. And there was T-ball and all this stuff. I was like, dude, that's so cool. And as I got older and came down to, like, Delaware and Maryland, you see these games, you see the sports, but it turned into something different down here, like, you know, travel soccer, stuff like that. And it, you know, you want your games to be competitive. You want your players to be competitive and, you know, get out there and be the best that they can be. But it was almost to a level of like, huh, it seems like the people with the most money, you know, are right on these teams, and they're getting to do this, that. And, you know, you got the kids who don't have the most money.
Yeah.
So
pay to play, and, man. Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I always tell my wife, is like, you know, like with jiu-jitsu for us, you know, I look at it as like, man, whenever, you know, you go to a competition or just at your gym, you see, you know, the younger folks playing and learning. And then as they get older, they start competing, and then it becomes a thing. It's like, good. I'm glad to see, you got in early, you're growing with the sport, and then get discouraged. Cause I think that's a huge thing too. Like you said, early on, you know, the first couple of years, you weren't really winning, and that's a huge blow for some people. It's like, oh my God, I suck at this. I can't wrestle. Let me go do fucking badminton. It's like,
yeah.
Like, give it a chance.
Well, and that's where like my parents had no background in wrestling. Like, their background was like coming from nothing and just tight family knit. I mean, I had three sisters. We're all 5 years apart. My parents were super young when they had all five of us, no money, but like whatever we wanted to do, they supported us, you know, and they really just I mean, looking back now, being a coach, like the only thing they focused on was like really our effort and attitude, man. And it's like, you know, cliche, but like, and then them leading by example, just working hard. And I mean, as a kid, you don't notice that stuff, but it's pretty cool to be able to look back now and just see that, like, you know, like I'm a wrestler my whole life, like, and I got three sisters, but like, you know, that they were pretty mean. But where's BJJ in rec sports, though? You know, that's something you don't really see. You know, why do you think that is? You know what I mean?
I think with BJJ, the big thing about it is it really, you know, it started in 93 here in the U.S. You know, it popped up, right, you know, with Ultimate Fighter. And then it still didn't have steam. And I think around 05 when the Ultimate Fighter picked up and people started paying attention to MMA, you start seeing where folks get kind of, you know, turn their eyes towards jiu-jitsu and mixed martial arts for that matter. And I think it's still one of those things where it's so young where it's, you know, you try to explain to a college, like, yeah, you know, I want to, you know, can we borrow this room, you know, rent out this space, you know, we're going to have, you know, jiu-jitsu going on over there. Like, what the fuck? Like, no, you're not doing that in this.
Yeah, we're going to be choking people.
Yeah.
Putting pressure, you know, on joints of the body.
They come in, it's like, why does it smell like this in here? And oh my God, what is he doing with his legs? Like, that's terrifying. I think one of the things, though, is a lot of folks still, you know, you're starting to see people kind of catch on to it and it's becoming more exposed. But I still think a lot of people aren't really fully familiar with it or aware of what it is. I still got family members that says to me, like, hey, you still doing that jiu-jitsu stuff? And they do the hand stuff. And I'm like, motherfucker. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, I am, actually. You know, it's so, and I think also part of it is, you know, if you want good instructional, you know, you're going to, you know, you want a black belt, and you get black belts out there teaching, you know, that's their time, and you want to compensate their time. So, you know, for rec sports, it gets tricky because someone's paying,
right?
But it's like, no one's like really paying for jiu-jitsu. You know, no one's going to pay, you know, the black belt to come over there and, you know, show the neighborhood kids how to do jiu-jitsu. Not yet, I don't think. I mean, you know,
right,
there's a gentleman I had on the show a couple years back. He was running a gym out in California called Free MMA. And it was just that. Everything was absolutely free. You know, he had, you know, sponsors and donations coming in. And, you know, he was teaching people jiu-jitsu, teaching people MMA. And I thought that was really, really awesome. You know, and there was some pushback because I think, you know, these days, too, there's a lot of pushback because whenever I promote them, people are like, well, that's a great way to, you know, take away from people, you know, who are trying to earn. It's like, it sucks. I get that. But also think, too, that, you know, everyone should have an opportunity, you know,
right?
Like jiu-jitsu and MMA is not cheap, you know?
Right.
So I would love to see, you know, more of, you know, combat sports in some capacity, you know, in PE, you know, like, and not even to the full extent of like, when I was in Delaware, we had, in PE, we did wrestling. And that was the first time I was exposed. Oh, no, day camp in Flint. But like, I remember wrestling, you know, back in third grade. And then when I got to Delaware in seventh grade, we had a, you know, whole chapter, you know, we're wrestling. I was like, oh my God. And that was the last time I ever wrestled.
Yeah.
Until, you know, I'm in my 30s doing jiu-jitsu. I was like, oh shit, I remember some of this. But, I don't know. I think it's just that right now, jiu-jitsu is still a relatively new thing. And it's weird to say that, seeing that what it's been around here in the US since 93. So what, 31 years, but it's still that thing where you mentioned it to somebody and, you know, they come up with any reason not to do it. But then even if you say, hey, it's just it's wrestling with submissions, and they're still like, oh, I don't know, man. Like, you know, we can't really be teaching the kids how to, you know, choke somebody. And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, what are we doing here? You know, let the kids just walk around and get fucking punk mugged all the time? No.
Like, that's right. That's
right. Toughen them up.
No doubt. I know. I mean, and it's weird, but I definitely think social media has helped and stuff like this has definitely helped growing the sport and our, I don't know, maybe that's just what my feed's all full of is, you know, combat sports. So I'm not seeing what I, you know, everything else, but It's definitely, you know, I had a kid I coached, Nate Head-Ed. He was out there at the BJJ. They just did a series on it, or they've done some. I don't know if you've seen it. Shoot, I forget the name of it. But they have like a team. It's like the Ultimate Fighter, but it's for BJJ. And so that was great. I mean, he, you know, got sponsored to go out there getting paydays. I mean, their team won like 100K. So it was like, it was pretty awesome, especially to see somebody that, you know, but him and his dad, they run a BJJ place in town here. And they're, I mean, it's just awesome to see that, how deep they are in it. But so hopefully it's on the all combat sports, man. I just love it all. I think it's great, you know, no matter what mixed martial art it is. And, you know, just,
yeah. I agree. I think it builds character. I remember a few years back, I was listening to Joe Rogan, and he had a war machine. Is it John Copenhagen? I believe it was. And he was on there, and it's weird because he went on to do some horrific stuff. And I remember listening to that episode and praising the dude, because it's like, it sounded like he had a rough upbringing. He went through some shit, but he got it together. He found martial arts. And I remember talking to people about how, like, look, man, you know, not all martial artists are bad. You know, you get some guys in there that may have come from a rough background, and, you know, they can get in and kind of channel that energy. And then it turns out he, you know, weeks later attacked and, you know, beat his girlfriend. And I have it kind of take a different stance on it and basically point out, like, look, majority of people that are doing combat sports, whether it be MMA, whether it be wrestling, whether it be Brazilian jiu-jitsu, judo, sambo, German jiu-jitsu, whatever, Japanese jiu-jitsu also, there's a lot of jiu-jitsus, but it does, for a good deal of us, kind of, you know, again, it takes that aggression, that you know, that energy, and it channels it somewhere, but it's also therapeutic for a lot of us.
Oh, and yeah, I mean, that's funny you say that tonight, man, because I was just after practice tonight, I was talking with the kid, and, you know, I mean, these kids, I run my club in Invicta, you know, I mean, it's high school and below. I mean, our college guys come back and we love them, but I mean, that's a tough time through high school for a lot of these kids, figuring out who they are and stuff. But, you know, that's what I was explaining to him. Like, you know, we all have these battles, bro. You know, like who we are, who we want to be. And I mean, ultimately, it's trying to find joy, I believe, and just being at peace with ourselves and our faith. And, you know, but like wrestling, getting in the room and just, for me, just getting in there and sweating and getting that workout, like, man, like, it's love, hate, like, you know, I've hated a lot of my life, but it's also, you know, I love it. I need it to help me keep on track, you know. And, you know, sometimes I think, especially as young kids trying to become men, or young men and women trying to grow up, like, you know, it's always like you think nobody else has problems, right? Like, you know, and it's like, yo, you know, that's what I was telling the guy tonight, man. Like, yo, bro, like, we all have, like, I'm 40 years old, still figuring this stuff out, you know. And I think just acknowledging that, and, you know, I mean, that's just the connection and the relationship that the combat sports world brings, man, is just that right there, you know, supporting each other, realizing like we're trying, like, it's the manliest, like, we're trying to be men, right? And you know, not trying to, you know, I always say, like, don't act tough, be tough, you know. So what's that mean? Is that talking about, you know, kind of opening up and admitting that, yeah, I got weaknesses, you know, how hard's that, you know? So, yeah. I don't know. That just made me think, the therapeutic, when you said that, just, you know, helps us for sure.
Well, yeah. I always try to when I go, so I used to go to therapy right after jiu-jitsu, and it was such a weird thing. I mentioned it on a recent episode. It was a cheat code because I go sit my therapist and she's like, "So how are things? I just got done fighting my friends.
Great.
Yeah. I feel great. My life is fantastic right now. There is nothing wrong in this world for me." And you know, I've put up the post before and I've gotten shit for it. It's like, jiu-jitsu is my therapy. And oh my God, so many people jump in the comments. But this is the thing with the internet world is people, everyone's a genius. Everybody's an expert. Everybody's got something to say. And it's like, I say jiu-jitsu is my therapy. And they're like, no, therapy is your therapy. It's like, well, no, therapy can also be my therapy. But jiu-jitsu, it has saved me in so many different ways that I remember my foster mom. My foster mom passed away. Was it 2018 or 2019? And I remember kind of being rattled by it and just like, oh my God, you know, that's my mom. And yeah. I went in to training the next morning and some hard reps, just bust my ass. And then afterward, you know, I didn't really converse much. I just went out there, got my reps in. And then afterward, I went over, kind of sat on the wall while everybody's, you know, kind of mat chat afterwards. And, you know, they're going over moves and then practicing still after the fact. And I was just sitting there, I just kind of absorbed the moment. And then started bawling, not like, you know, like heavy crying, sobbing, but, you know, just letting it flow. But it was like, it was this release. And I don't know, like, had I not had jiu-jitsu, how that outburst would have occurred, you know, in any other fashion of my life, had I not had jiu-jitsu to kind of get that energy out, get those feelings out. Because a big thing for me when I'm having a tough time and I go into practice is just getting lost in the reps, focusing on my reps, focusing on, you know, hand positioning, foot positioning, focusing on, you know, the takedowns, focusing on the sweeps, and just really getting lost in that. And because I know there's something else going on out there, I'm more dialed in now because I'm trying to get away from whatever that is for the moment. I'll address it later. But in that moment, I need to be here on the mats, completely dialed in. Whereas, you know, if I didn't have that, who knows, you know, what chaos could be going on up here and where I would be. I mean, it's having this outlet for a lot of us is, like I said, it's a lifesaver for so many. And I'd say personally for me, it's, I tried to quit once. My wife was like, "You can't quit because you're happier when you do jiu-jitsu." And I was like, "Oh my God, I can feel it, but I never thought of it."
That's awesome. Well, she sounds like an awesome, awesome woman.
Well, thank you. She buys me action figures, so it's like, it's like, oh my God, thank you. Oh, can I go to jiu-jitsu now? It's like I'm fucking 12 all over again. So for you with the footwork trainer, so walk me through that. Like, what kind of inspired that idea?
Well, I was I'm a PE teacher, and I was on my lunch break, and so I'd already come up. I mean, I've had the footwork. Like those boys that got me into coaching, we would always like, I had a small group and there was a couple other guys in there, but we would, I mean, when I started coaching, I mean, I was like all in, we were there all summers. And at first it was just like five kids, you know, showing up all the time, but we used to like put tape down all over the mat and have all these like, kind of like we did a lot of like follow the leader drill. Just like games, man. I mean, we were wrestling so much on the mat. Like, I don't even know. Like, and we went hard. Like, it was wrestling hard, but then it was also like, fall, you know, we just try to create stuff. I didn't even know what we were doing, to be honest. Now, looking back, it's kind of cool. But we'd put tape down, and then, you know, like, this is where your feet need to be going. And then we would have combinations of like wide athletic tape, like down, like a wrestling, our a big wrestling mat's like 40 by 40 and or 42 by 40 and we'd have them tape all over, and it was just kind of fun. But the footwork mat, I had just these basic drills, mainly for when like our kids got injured, or the kid that never wants to practice but he wants to sit, be a part of the team and just sit on the, you know, red badge of courage, he's hurt, okay, we'll do this drill. And you know, high school team, we're trying to, you know, just kind of keep everybody, that might be big for him. But anyways, I had different colored tapes at my club that I had on the concrete. And then one day I was just sitting in my, sitting on my break period on my lunch, and there's a piece of cardboard in the trash. And I was like, dang. So I just grabbed it and like drew these footprint circles on it, actually printed them out, put them on there. And I was like, how can I just make this to where, like, you know, it's like dummy proof. Like, here's the instructions. You do it. So I had these different colors. Then I remember calling my old teammate up at IU, Joe Dubuque, who's now the head coach at Princeton. I was like, yo, bro, I got this. I don't know if I said bro back then, but I was like, hey, man, I got this awesome idea of like footwork. And he's like, yeah, dude, it sounds great. And so I kind of was excited about it for a little bit and kind of came up with a pattern, like basic footwork, and had like a design, and it turned into footprints instead of circles. And then it just kind of fell off for, I don't know, 6 months or something. And then a kid I trained, who's actually, his background, his old dad, and he's another set of three brothers and a dad, and they all came from a BJJ background. The dad's best friend was a lawyer, a patent lawyer. So we got to talking and he would come to all his wrestling meets. So we got to talking, and he kind of helped me, push me to get it going. He helped me tremendously. I showed him my designs. He took care of everything. And then I got all that through. And then, you know, the whole process, I went on another about a year span, maybe 6 months to a year, where I was trying to find somebody to kind of make them and stuff and be able to actually make it feasible to even sell. And just enough to where I didn't lose money, you know. And so then I finally found that guy and got just ordered a bunch. And, you know, that's kind of what got me started on social media, like posting the mats. And the thing about it is like, you don't need it. Like, you can look at the mat. I'll send anybody who texts me is like, that's too much. Like, I'll send them a picture, like, just put these footprints on the ground. You know, like I'm just trying to help people get better. And it's an easy way. You know, with the mat, it's nice. You can take it anywhere, but I'm not a salesman. Like, I'm a coach and a wrestler, and just love training. And, you know, it's like, you don't need dumbbells to get bigger biceps, like, you know, but just stuff like that helps. And that's, I mean, it's been about 5-6 years now since, well, I mean, it's probably been maybe 2 years before I actually got the actual prototype even drawn up, you know. So then it's just been, I mean, I just sell them out of my garage, man. Like, it's just me. People order them, I package them up. And one of my kids' dad, he has a warehouse, he lets me store them in there. And yeah, it's been awesome. Just, I mean, I've shipped them all over the world. I mean, it's hard to ship across country and stuff, but just to be able to help people. I mean, I just think maybe not the best business approach, but it's just, I just love the coaching, being able to help people and like trying to get better, you know? And so that's kind of where it started. And, you know, we've sold, you know, a decent amount, you know, I mean, when I post more, like they sell more, obviously, but it's been fun, man. It's been a fun journey. I've met so many people, and you know, that's just been, especially during COVID lockdowns, like,
Oh yeah.
You know, I was out in my garage all the time, just talking to people and all over the world. You know, like, hey man, how's my shot look? You know, I don't know. Send me some video. You know, and that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how the mat got started and everything.
Okay. I mean, you know, I could just hear, like, you know, and just as you're explaining it, and, you know, one of the big things there that, you know, stands out is, like you say, you just want to help people. You want people to get better, man. And I think that, you know, behind it all, you know, being a businessman and having a format and a platform and things, you know, you still say, look, I just want people to get better, man. Like, I'm just trying to help because we need more helpers, you know, one way or the other. So thank you for that, dude.
No, I appreciate it.
when you know, you messaged me, it's like, I clicked on, I was like, wait a minute. I recognize this because I think I probably saw it on my Off the Mats account because everything crosses there. My BJJ Wiki algorithm is, dude, I don't know what the fuck I'd be looking at over there. But Off the Mats is more refined.
Well, I see that one a lot, bro.
Well, yeah, I post off of there a lot, like a lot. Right. But also with posting so much, since I'm there, I just see, dude, like, it can go from jiu-jitsu to, you know, making fun of LeBron James to, you know, twerk videos to comic books to action figures back to jiu-jitsu. And I'm just like, why is this like this? But then you go to Off the Mats and it's like, okay, you know, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing. I'm like, okay, this. So I, you know, more than likely caught you over there. And then what happens is if I see something cool over there, I send myself a message to BJJ Wiki. So as a reminder, like, hey, go follow this account because you're not on Off the Mats enough to follow anyone, but you're here enough to follow people and then kind of, you know, take inventory. So when I saw the message, I was like, okay, hold on. All right. I got you. But, you know, then started kind of digging a little deeper and I was like, I got you now. Like, now I see. And one of the things that stood out to me is, you know, as we talk about footwork and then, you know, takedowns specifically, whenever we're working takedowns in jiu-jitsu, usually jiu-jitsu, it's varied. You know, we have a couple wrestling coaches there that, you know, you can just see that they're like, okay, I know that I'm not working with the most refined, but we're going to get you somewhere. Like, look, you're not going to do it like you've been wrestling, you know, since middle school, but we'll at least make it look halfway decent. And then there's me. It's like, oh, like this guy, well, like, you can tell he played football.
Yeah. But that's what's so great about the combat sports, like BJJ or wrestling. I mean, like we're all different builds, but like you could be really good at like upper body, but I could be really good at lower body or like, you know, attacking the arms or attacking the head, you know, or faking or speed, like timing beats speed, you know? And it's like, it's just so, there's no algorithm for that, bro. It's just like it's, you know, it's not like level one. All right. You know, which obviously there's belt levels and stuff like that, but like for, you know, a certain techniques, but like, it's just a, you know, when you're competing, it's just a mess. You know, it's figuring it out on the fly sometimes, you know, and that's what's so fascinating about it, you know. And then you add in like, all right, what type of grit does this kid have? You know, like when I grew up, it was all just like toughness won a lot. Like I was just stubborn, hard-headed. You know, but like now technique like is just so much more advanced than when I was wrestling, like, you know, but then, you know, it's just cool to see it, man, from both sides of it. And I just love it. It's just so much fun. I mean, you're always learning. It's a white belt mentality, man. Going into practice, like, I learned so much. Like, I had a little kids class today, and like, you know, maybe like, hey, you got, you know, our motto is there's a right time to hit every move, you know, whether, you know, and like, I really, you know, because some people, I'll show a kid and he might do it a little bit different way that works better for him, or, you know, I think you just always keep your eyes open for learning new techniques or a phrase that a kid might say that like explains it better to like his style of learning, you know, and it's just cool.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's a great approach to have, you know, just, you know, we're all different in how we absorb our information. And, you know, as you know, a lot of coaches are all different in how they, you know, coach, you know, but, you know, for the student, you know, they got to be open, you know, to that style. And for the teacher, they have to be open to the ideal that, look, maybe this kid, you know, you'll have a kid that you can show them the video and they'll pick it up. You can have a kid that you can tell them and they'll pick it up. Then there's Dante. He has to physically do it. Yeah. And not just that, he physically does it wrong 40 times, but that's the whole point of reps and mileage. You got to get those reps in and, you know, eventually get there.
Well, that's funny, man. It reminds me of when I first started coaching, that group of brothers, like I would bring everybody in. And I mean, our practice, like by this time I'd been working with these guys in our team and our group of, you know, our small group. And like, I mean, we were training like at a high level, and I'd bring everybody in to show a new technique or whatever. This is what we're doing. Be in a circle. I mean, I'm on like a show and go, like 1 minute of showing, like 5 minutes of drilling it. And then if we need to adjust, we'll adjust after that. But every time we'd break, all right, ready to go, you know, break out. And he'd come up to me. What'd you just say, coach? I just wanted to strangle him, you know, but then because I was young in my coaching career, but then I just realized, like, all right, everybody learns different. So I had to physically grab him, put my hands on him, show him a post or whatever it was. But then after that, it was fine. It only took me one time to put my hands on him, and then he could go and do it, you know, and that was just so, I mean, it opened the eyes for me of like, you know, how to coach everybody differently, you know, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah. There's just, you know, always something new to it all, but, you know, again, what makes a great coach is realizing that too. So, you know, for you to realize, wait a minute, I have to physically show him how to do this. Cause I know for me, I write notes. What I do is at the end of class, I'll ask coach, hey, is it all right if I take a video of this move being done. Now I go home and write notes off of the video. And you know, after writing it, because I have to walk through step by step and writing it, it now becomes ingrained. It's like, okay, now I have to put it to practice. And that's where it gets trickier, because now you got to watch yourself on video, fuck it up. And then like, oh yeah. Shit, that didn't work. But hey, you know, it's all a learning process ultimately. So,
No doubt. I
will say wrestlers, anytime our Friday night no gi class is primarily wrestlers, and man, I go there because it's tough. But yeah. You know, I'm usually the oldest dude in the room. I'm you know, going against these 20-year-olds. You know, I'm 46, and I'm like, you know, then I have to like kind of figure out like, okay, that dude's got a lot of muscle. All right, I'm gonna have to do this a little different. And then there's one that's like wiry, and I'm like, fuck, okay, you know. But you know, the fun thing about going with the wrestlers is that, you know, like we were doing a King of the Hill, and it was back taking. I had this one dude's back. He was in a bad spot. He would not quit. I got the rear naked in. I'm like going to town on this dude, like trying to choke him. He's like, oh, this dude won't quit. I had to, was like, fuck. Like, who said, like, he's getting his ass whipped and he's tougher than me right now. I'm about to quit from beating him. So, but that's, you know, one of the fun things with wrestlers is just like, you know, you're in for a battle. And, you know, a lot of the wrestlers, well, not a lot of them, all of them, when they come in, there's this thirst for knowledge. You know, it's like, you know, they're a sponge. And the thing is, they're a sponge. And the fun thing about them being a sponge is they're a sponge with liquid already there, with grappling experience of some capacity. It's just now adding different tools to stuff that they already know, like, you know, applying pressure, you know, footwork and movement, right, and stay moving, you know, never go flat, never stop moving. It's like, okay, so they get all these basics that, you know, a lot of us coming in later in life. I came in at 38 and it was just like, what the fuck any of this is? I know how to tackle people. And when I missed a tackle and they choked me with my shirt, I was just like, oh boy, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So I had to be willing now to put the ego aside and learn, like, okay, I know these dudes will whip my ass, so let me let them teach me what I'm doing wrong. But wrestlers are great, you know, just in all of that capacity, because, you know, when they come in to learn with us or when they come in and train with it, because usually it's a quick, like, all right, this is your first week. All right, within the first month, it's like they're already moving because they got the movements down. Yeah. Now it's just like, let me learn the jiu-jitsu aspect to it.
No, for sure. Well, and I think it's just we've had our ass beat so much, bro. Like we're humbled. You know, I mean, most of, you know, I mean, and obviously you have to have some type of, like, I don't know if it's ego or just confidence if you're going to compete, but it's also like, you know, like I said, man, I mean, I don't think I won a match for several years, you know, and it was just, so like what else are you going to do to me?
Yeah, you know, true.
Like, and it was like that at every level, especially when I jumped up, you know, going from high school to wrestling in the Big Ten. It was just like, whoa, I was not ready for that. And that was brutal, but, you know, it just, I, you know, and then even like practice, like growing up wrestling practice, like no quit. Like, I mean, we've had practices in high school where my coach, like, we couldn't leave until everybody escaped, you know, off bottom. Like, and then they blow the, right when that, like, there's 14 guys in the starting lineup. And then right when that 13th dude's about to escape, they blow the whistle. We got to do it again. Go back down. You know, Isaac didn't get out. We got to start over. Go on, man. It's like they controlled all that. You never knew how much time was on the clock. Like, you know, but, and then it's kind of funny training it and then being able to coach it as well. And a lot of emotions get put out in those practices, but it's great, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a, you know, there's this thing about it with, like you say, you know, you guys took so many ass whippings, you know, that's why coming into jiu-jitsu, it's like, you know, there's nothing else you could throw at me. And the thing is, and I've seen it, I'm just like, fuck, like, just stop. It, you know, it's like fighting the, you know, fucking the Terminator. It's like, you just keep shooting. It was like, just stop fucking moving for a minute. Please.
But it is awesome. Like when I roll with somebody, like a jiu-jitsu guy who knows like what they're doing, and then it's like, oh shit, you know, like, oh shit, man, you got me. You know, like, how'd you do that? You know, like that's fun. And I wish I could do, you know, make time to do that more. So, I mean, I know I got some really good dudes that I've coached that are pretty much doing a ton of jiu-jitsu right now, but just for me with running my club and you know, being with the family, you know, it's just I don't make time for that. But when I do, it's just because it's a whole new like sport for me, man. Like, you know, the movements, and it's like a lot of guys are like, take me down, I don't care. Like, I'm gonna choke you out. Like,
That's the weird thing with jiu-jitsu. It's like, you know, if you're watching an MMA fight, there's certain BJJ first guys that are in the cage and they want to go to the ground. And it's like, you know, I'll be watching with my neighbors and they're like, oh, they knocked him. I was like, no, that dude wants to be down there. Trust right. me on that. He didn't fall down because he got knocked down. He fell down because he wants you to join him. And then there are fighters that know that. And they're like, nah, stand up, dude. Like, stand up so I can knock you down again. But it's fascinating, you know, again, when you have anyone from either discipline, you know, enter into something new. And, you know, it's the acceptance of this ideal. Like, look, I know I'm going to have some growing pains here, but, you know, I come to the table already with some utensils. So, you know, it's just a matter of being able to, you know, calibrate your utensils there. One of our wrestling coaches, I remember he, at one of the competitions, his first match, he went in, glass double, won that match quick. I was like, okay, cool. And I hear the guys next to me, the guy taps over, I was like, yo, homeboy's a wrestler. And you can already see them like, all right, we got to change our game plan because this dude is going to put us on our ass. Now, the next match, the dude who had pointed that out, that's who he had next. And, you know, he took that takedown and then he worked to a triangle and then caught my coach in a triangle. I was like, like, which, you know, was then now a note in my mind. I was like, okay, susceptible to triangles. Gotcha. All right. Because he's fucking great. It just he will wipe our room up. Just but yeah, it's just fascinating to see, you know, even in the competition aspect of it, you know, seeing our coach go out there, wow, hit somebody with a double leg, and then, you know, put in work. And the way that he moved so fluidly that cats didn't know what to do. It was just like, how'd he end up over there? I'm not even processing yet. So, you know, that's one thing that I love seeing wrestlers bring over to jiu-jitsu is like that movement. It's like, wow, okay. Like you were already here before I could blink. So, and it's not even speed. It's like you said, timing. It's just like they had it down. Well, so,
you know, well, and that's like the stance of motion that I built, like, that's where I feel like it can help, like, a lot of BJJ guys. Like you've never wrestled, like, you know, like, just, like, for me, if I want to learn BJJ, like, I feel like I need to like, practice that art. You know what I mean? Like, strictly, like, all right, I can't move like that, but, like, how do I? You know, for, like, wrestling, like, you want to be able to feel and move like a wrestler, like, start practicing, like, just simple stance of motion, you know, and that, like, that's crucial for, like, all levels of wrestling, like, from youth level to Olympians, like, all wrestlers do that, and, like, you know, so just obviously practice, and the great thing is, like, you just practice, like, I can do it in my garage, like, obviously, I'm not going to shoot on concrete, but, you know, you get the shot pad, I've seen that out there, but, you know, I think for BJJ guys that maybe want to get a little bit better at wrestling, but don't have the time, like, you know, when you go to practice, you're going to learn BJJ stuff, like, not wrestling, but like, hey, you can do this, you know, 10 minute stance of motion would be huge, just really for anybody, whether it's wrestlers or BJJ guys, you know, and that's kind of like, I mean, that's kind of the same concept with the stance of motion app. It's the same thing with the footwork mat. Like, just another tool to help you get better. Do you need it? No. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what's great about our sport. You really don't need anything to get better. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, it helps to have good partners and stuff like that. But, like, you know, a lot of it, man, you can get better on your own.
Yeah, that's one thing my wife and I were talking about this a few years back with our daughter. She wanted to put her in soccer. And she was like, oh my God, like, all the equipment you got to buy, all the stuff, it's all this stuff. And I was like, I mean, yeah, you know, when you think about, like, you know, combat sports, it's like all you need is a willing partner. That's all you need. I mean, maybe some gloves if you're going to be striking, you know, that might help. Right. But it, you know, and maybe, you know, a mat. But you know, I used to think about that too with like football. It's like, damn, dude, you got to pay for all this stuff, man. It's like, and then you think about like, you know, all the, you know, when you see like worldwide, like, you know, one of the top sports is soccer or, you know, football, whichever one we call it. I don't know. I call it soccer because I think when I call it football, soccer, they look at me like, you know, you don't say that word. I'm like, you're right. But it's like, all you need for that is just a ball. You know, it was like, it makes sense. So,
I think that's why, like, countries like in they call it soccer, football, like, that's why they're so good, man. They're playing on smaller fields, and and futsal is what they call it over there. And it's just a ball and dirt field, man.
That's all you need. I mean, even with basketball, like, you can have a ball, but you still need a hoop. You know,
right?
You got the hoop, ain't no point with soccer. Just get a ball. With wrestling, just get a willing partner. And I told my wife, I was like, "Well, yeah, we don't got to put her in soccer. I mean, you know, we could put her in jiu-jitsu." And she was like, "Well, I mean, we could do that too." I was like, "Okay, I mean, sure. She can wrestle when she gets older. Jeez Louise, lady! Like, let's get her in an activity." And then, and what she do instead? Here's a bunch of money. Go be an actor. Like, what the fuck? Like my kid, like she can't. Well, I mean, she can do West Side Story and pretend to fight, I guess. I mean, fuck. But I need this kid to be tough.
That's right. Well, I'm sure she's leading by example. She's seeing it.
Oh yeah, no, she's definitely she is a shit talker, and she don't back down from nobody. I'm like, oh Jesus, like, good. But you know, it's this weird thing of like, when I was a kid, I would talk a lot of shit, get my ass kicked, and it was just, you know, that was the process. You know, you go through it as yourself. But watching my daughter, it's like, I don't want to see you getting beat up. Like, just stop talking shit, please, for just 1 second.
That's funny, man. Like that, what you just said, and then earlier, like, it being therapeutic. And like, but, like, when I was kids, like, me and my buddies, like, we didn't have anything to do. We would straight up just bare knuckle fight each other. Like, there would be six of us and be like, you know, we're done running through the woods, riding our bikes. Like, we would just fight, man. Like, I, like, you know, lost tooth, bloody, like, but then afterwards we were fine. Like,
That's part of growing up, though, you know, for a lot of us. I mean, you know, you're 40, I'm 46. I mean, we're from that era where that's what we did. We went outside and you wasn't allowed to come back in. You know, a lot of times till the streetlights came on, I was like, all right, streetlights, I'm gonna bring ass home.
Yeah.
But if the streetlights ain't on, you go find something. Go get an activity. And I remember my buddy, well, it was like maybe what, five of us, maybe? It was a group of us. We had a pair of boxing gloves, and we would flip a coin for who was going to be the lefty.
Got him. Yeah.
And I think eventually we ended up getting a second pair, but by that point it was only two of us. It was like, well, fuck, all right, we're just going to beat the shit out of each other in this kitchen. Because that's what we do. We would stand in the kitchen because it was so tiny, and it was like, you have nowhere to run. You got to fight. And, you know, it was, you know, just part of growing up, part of just our silliness, but you know what made us, you know, who we are. Because, and that's the big thing, it's like, it's not even a matter of like, oh, I want to go out and fight. No, it's a matter of, there's a respect that came to that. You knew, you know, there, more often than not, we would, you know, verbally talk the shit down, but we knew we were capable, if need be, if this has to be settled with our fists, we can do it as well. And it didn't happen too often. I mean, my best friend and I, we got into a fight. I remember, like, he could have just ended the night for me. I ended up, we all had a townhouse together, and I cleaned the house. I bust my ass all day, cleaned that house, vacuum, like, washing the windows. I worked hard. So now I'm sitting on the couch drinking a beer, reading a book. Weird things that, like, weird random things that Dante would do at 22. Sit in the living room reading a book. I don't even know what fucking book it was. It was probably Upside Down too. But they all come home, he and his brother and one of our other friends. I got up to do something, and the friend took my seat. It was just weird because it's like there's a whole couch there. There's another chair over there, and you took my seat. So I says, Jimmy, I need you to get out of that chair. And I was like, no, man, I'm sitting here. I was like, okay, so Jimmy, if you don't get up, I'm going to hit you in the head with this chair. It was a folding chair, so like WWE style. He goes, no. And then my buddy goes, Dante, if you hit him with that chair, I'm going to fuck you up. Now me, I'm like, word. So poor Jimmy is collateral in all of this. He gets hit in the face with a chair, falls to the floor. He was okay. And my buddy Charles grabs me. You know, I'm like, he was a big fella. Like, his nickname was Brutus. So, you know, if that's any indicator, this is just a big dude. Yeah, he's muscle. It's not even like he's fat, like he's muscle. And I'm hitting him. I'm body shots. He's not feeling it. Then I tried to, like, you know, kind of charge him, like, you know, kind of take him down. He just gets me in a headlock. And he's like, stop. I don't want to hit you. I was like, I'm going to bite you. He was like, if you bite me, I will fuck you up. And I was like, I'm going to bite you. Know, I'm trying to get him to let me go. I was like, you can bite me if you want, but I will fuck you up. So I grabbed the aerosol can. There's a, you know, like Glade, you know, one of those. And I'm like trying to spray him. And I remember his brother saying, like, he remembers just seeing the aerosol spray flying in the air aimlessly. And I start hitting him with the can. He goes, yo, Dante, if you hit my brother, I'm going to fuck you up, yo. And I was like, yo, when I'm done fucking him up, I'm coming after you next. I'm in no position to be talking shit. But I'm ready for war. Finally, I powered out. I go, yo, you're let's right. go talk. So we go out front. And we explain our cases. Then we come back in, laugh, and grab the beer, sat down. But that was fucking growing up, though. That's what you did. You just fucked around.
Yeah, no, I know, man. That's how I grew up. I mean, it was just, it's the way it went, you know.
Yeah.
It's my best friends still today.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, just, those are the friendships that, you know, that kind of stuck around. You know, you fought together, you know, you lived together, you cried together.
Yeah.
And you know, that friendship is endearing. And, you know, there's just a toughness to that.
Yeah.
It comes
from, maybe that's not why we're just in combat sports.
True.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's why we're where we are right now.
Yeah, as adults, we're like, yeah, I want to fight somebody. It's like, yeah, you
fighting each other.
You can't just go fight your friends, which, I mean.
These guys are fucking idiots.
Well, every time I meet someone, that is my first thought. It's like, I want to wrestle with this person. And because you can tell a lot about a person when you fight them, you know, when you're grappling with them. And I remember my old neighbor, I got him to come over to the gym and do a trial with me. And he was in the army, so he's been through combatives and everything. So I was like, oh, this is gonna be fun. You know, he's got some grappling experience. And it wasn't a bad role by any means, but I was kind of expecting to, you know, get the, you know, shit kicked out of me. I was like, oh my god, like, this is going way different. Yeah, this is definitely my neighborhood. I have established dominance. I own this block. Now he's a kettlebell competitor, and this dude is fucking jacked. I saw him the other day. I was like, Jesus Christ. like, come on over to the gym, sign that waiver again. Let's go.
That's right.
let's get it on, son. But yeah, it's probably part of our issue now is grown as men. We're like, all right, well, we want to, like, why are you guys, like, involved in combat sports? You know, they help the youth, they help the community. You know, we're trying to, you know, really, really foster a system. And da, da, da. No, really, we just want to fight our friends. That's
right. An absolute fact. Yeah. But I mean, I think it's all just, like, just to be ready for the unknown is important too, I think. Yeah, just be ready to defend the family if needed.
Oh yeah, that thing, that's the ultimate thing in my mind, is like, all right, if I'm out with my family and some shit really goes down, am I prepared for it? You know, my first instinct is always to try to, you know, get my family out of there safely. But if I'm backed into a corner and I have to actually fight, it's like, I'm not worried about it. I'm, and I think that's always a weird thing too, is like defeating yourself. It's like, I could be paired up. Brock Lesnar could be standing across from me. Yeah, Brock would probably eat me. You know, that's fair to say, but I'm not gonna back, you know, if he's putting me in danger, putting my family in danger, I'm not going to back down. I also stand behind the feeling just from experience of like the folks who can beat the shit out of me probably aren't going to cause me problems, because that's not what they're there for, versus the people, like, it's like shit talkers on the internet.
Yeah.
If you can beat my ass, you're probably not talking shit on the internet at me. But if you're on my page talking shit, chances are you are a little bitch and you can't beat nobody. So that's 100%. How you're getting your energies out. So Brock's probably the worst example.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I think it's just at that point, always try to get out of the situation. But, you know, if that switch gets flipped, man. Let's go. But yeah, I definitely, and that's, I hate fighting, but like I love it at the same time. Like if it needs to happen, which I hope it never has to, the rest of my time, you know.
Oh yeah.
In that situation, hopefully never.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming home from practice, you know, my body, you know, is a little banged up, and that's on Matt. So imagine, like, you know, I'm out of fucking Cyndi Lauper concert or some shit. Get into a fucking fight on the fucking lawn. You know, I might be a little sore. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's not worth the recovery time.
Exactly. So when using the footwork trainer, what would like a typical, like, I guess, routine or session look like in using the mat?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on how much time you have. You know, sometimes at practices we'll use it for warm-ups. Usually if I'm just using it or instructing kids, is that somebody who start using it, you know, they can, you know, like I said, like they got 10 minutes, you got 15 minutes, whatever it is. You know, but usually we have a basic set of warm-ups that we do, and then it kind of gets from there. It's kind of like you can create really anything. I mean, there's unlimited possibilities on the workouts, but, you know, typically I would say like a, you know, 8 to 15 minute work on it will help get you going. I mean, the whole goal is like, once you understand the footwork mat, like you don't need it, you know, like it travels with you. Every step you take is like, engage. There's no wasted steps. Like every step you take, there's an opportunity to hit an attack or to fake an attack. You know, no wasted steps. You know, and your feet are always set to defend or to attack. So, you know, that's what I think, the understanding of like, why am I stepping here versus like just circling left. Like when I'm circling left, like what are my feet? Are they set to attack? Are they set to defend? Like, you know, and just being aware of like, if I can get this guy to chase this foot and I switch stance or whatever it is, then, you know, I have an opportunity to score. So.
Nice. That's something my wife and I were talking about earlier this week. An incident took place at work, and it really revolved around the ideal of like an individual understanding, why am I doing this? And just kind of what you're saying is like, you know, like, you know, why would I step here, you know, versus like, oh, I'm just going, you know, it just feels like you're just kind of idly doing things. It's like, no, there's a purpose for it. And that's kind of where I got to with jiu-jitsu, is like trying to understand, well, why am I doing this? You know, like in our warm-ups when we're shrimping down the mats. It's like, you know, for some folks are just like, oh, it's just part of the warm up. No, I mean, shrimping is a big part of jiu-jitsu. And when you're doing it during your warm up, you know, you'll understand once you're out there on the mat why you shrimp. Or, you know, for our Friday night class, you know, part of our warm up is, you know, penetration steps. or shots down the mat. And it's like, to some degree, it's like, well, why are we doing this? Well, I mean, it's no gi. Right. You know, it'll end up coming in use here.
Right. No doubt.
As far as the mat goes, and just use of the system in itself, is there a difference in how beginners versus like an advanced wrestler should use the trainer?
I mean, not really. I mean, I always like when you start, when you first get it, you should just be standing straight up. You know, I think some people get it and they try to start in their stance, you know, but obviously we don't want our head looking down. So like just standing straight up, once you get the basic footwork patterns down, and then then we start lowering into our stance, you know, so more experience. And I always start, like, I take longer to warm up. Like, you know, something's always, like, my back was out the other day, and a chiropractor, 2 visits yesterday, got me straightened back up. But, you know, and really doing the footwork, man, it gets my hip. I really need a new hip, but, I mean, it gets my hip so flared up. It's pretty painful, but. But yeah, standing straight up, and then as you progress, just start working into that lower stance is probably the biggest difference. But, and then the speed, and obviously the timing, and the, you know, all of that, I think is probably the biggest difference you'll see from a beginner to someone that's been experienced with it, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I have the app here. I was tinkering with it the other day, and then I was like, all right, let me like just, you know, kind of look at this a little bit. Like just the ideal of it, like just looking at the you know, looking on the site and looking at the mat itself, it was like us grapplers in jiu-jitsu could benefit from this. Myself personally, I know I could benefit from it. You know, so this is one of those things where I look at, I'm like, okay, this is, you know, this is interesting because it's not, I've never seen anything like this. So it's like, oh, this is almost kind of like a, I don't want to say dummy proof in it, but it is this thing of like, here, this is kind of like a layout of,
yeah,
you know, how to, you know, position yourself, you know, that I think that's huge for not just someone like myself, who's older, you know, on the mats, but, you know, younger, you know, teenagers in high school, middle school and whatnot coming up as well, especially for them, I think.
Yeah. Well, and the footwork, Matt, like if you want to take me down, you have to do like the footwork that is on the mat. It's ever like you do it, like everybody does it. I mean, you did it almost probably most of it in football too. Like, it's just, it's so simple, man. But like, who do, like, I coach kids all the time and they don't understand it. You know what I mean? They might be able to do it, but can they explain it? So, like, developing that understanding, and that's where I get back to, like, coaching those brothers, like, putting the tape on the mat, like, really understanding where my feet are at. Like, it just made such a big difference. Like, and that was the whole idea behind the mat, you know? But, I mean, as far, like, but the app, though, I mean, it's kind of, like, 2 different things, like, you know, you're performing wrestling techniques using the app, and it calls it out, and there's different levels. So like level 1 is just all basic, you know, stalking, moving forward in your stance check, you know, faking, and then it progresses into, you know, repping out, you know, in 20 seconds. I mean, you got to be able to perform 15 to 20 commands depending on how the algorithm of the app throws it, how many commands it throws you. So it's pretty, you know, tough and everything. But like the top position is the, and we're obviously improving this app as we go and taking feedback and taking it seriously. And, you know, the top position level 5 on the app is very, like, it's tough. Like neutral, yeah, you can do. You know, but the top and bottom, top is probably the hardest to do on air. So it's probably just as much visualizing it as far as maybe not actually getting the command fully. which I think visualization is huge in every aspect of life. But the main focus of the app to help probably jiu-jitsu wrestlers is going to be neutral offense and neutral defense. You know, being able to select that. You know, and you can use it, like, I mean, it's a freemium app, you know, but download it. Don't have to sign up. That was one of my big things. Like, just use it. Like, you can use a couple of the levels for free, you know. Shit. And, you got it wrong. Fuck. Yeah. <All right. laughs> No, you're good. That's good. Get it. Shot. Down block. Fake. Man, I get it right now.
It's like hearing the whistles, like, oh shit. Like, yeah. Oh, triggered.
Yeah, and that's a couple things, you know, we're just making adjustments and everything, and then but yeah, it's cool. I mean, the feedback has been, for the most part, it's been excellent. I really appreciate, like, there's a lot of bugs when we first put it out, and people from all over the world, man, Germany, US, United Kingdom, they like, hey man, like, Google, the Android, we had the most problems with, but just, you know, I didn't expect all that. So it's kind of like trying to figure it out as we go. And I feel like we finally got it, like, working really well right now. So it's pretty exciting.
Good, good. Yeah, that was actually going to be kind of my next question, was just kind of like, you know, as you continue to develop the app, you know, any specific plans for, like, you know, specific upgrades or new features, you know, that might be, you know, on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's, yeah, I mean, I have so many, like, my brain, I just constantly have so many ideas and ways to improve it. I mean, going from, like, AI and giving you a grade, you know, I've talked to a couple people about that. Like, you know, putting, like, points on your body and it recording you. And there's a couple apps already out like that. But really, I mean, yeah, I mean, and then maybe actually, like, all practice planning and stuff like that. Trying to get a calisthenic version going in it. Because, like, one thing when I work out, like, my favorite workouts are just randomness, you know, like, so trying to do, like, the whole point of the app is, like, you have no equipment, you don't need anything. If you have a mat, great. If you don't shoot on the concrete, like, but you can just turn it on and get a workout in. And, you know, I've done stance of motion all the time, like, by myself. But, like, when somebody, your buddy or coach is calling it out, like, it just is, it's different. I mean, it holds you more accountable. It just seems harder physically because you're having to listen. So you're using your brain versus just you just flowing on your own, which both are good. And I really believe you need to do both. But, yeah, the app, I mean, just 30 seconds on level 5 is, I mean, it's pretty rough.
Oh, I bet. So yeah, like, I'm definitely, you know, thankful for, you know, being introduced to this and just the ideal of it. And you know, as a coach, your contribution just to the grappling community and just in general, the coach community, because, you know, I think mentors are so important for, especially the kids today. And having someone like yourself out there is huge. So, you know, thank you for that.
Appreciate it. I love it.
Before we get out of here, I want to ask you if you had any shout outs or mentions that you want to drop on here. I got the links here. So if you have any additional links you want to send me, I could throw in the show notes too.
Yeah, I'll throw some to you. But yeah, I mean, the app is called Stance in Motion. So, I mean, it's available on Google Play and Android, or Apple and Android. So you can search that. The website, stancemotion.com. And then the footworktrainer.com as well. But yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, you know, I just, like, hopefully just trying to get it out there, man, to help our community get better. And that's it. And you know trying to get the app to where it can actually just support itself and keep it running. And hopefully the goal is to keep building it and be able to keep the team going on it and just getting it out there to the world, man. And maybe one day add a BJJ section and just keep going down that line, man. But right now, just trying to keep it as simple as possible. And it's been great. I'm so grateful for all the feedback from everybody and just making connections, like with you. I mean, just meeting you the past couple of days and talking and just sharing the love for mixed martial arts, man. It's just been a blessing.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm definitely gonna tinker with this a little bit. And I was thinking, I was like, okay, I do open mat on Sundays sometimes, and it's just kind of free drilling, whatever you need to drill and work on.
Yeah,
it was like, trust me, it things would be rolling to my head. I'll message like, hey, this is how you can expand to BJJ, we got these things here that would definitely be helpful. So You'll hear from me. Trust me.
It's, for sure. Because
nah. same thing. I'd be sitting around and thoughts are just going through my head. It's like, where do I put them?
Well, and I guess the final two, you got to, since BJJ, you got to try to get my buddy Nathan Haddad on Brandon Reed. I don't know if you know either of them guys. Brandon Reed's got a pretty good following on Instagram, but they both wrestled. Kind of grew up in the same area, and I hope those guys are crushing it in the BJJ world. So yeah, they're pretty awesome. But I'll send you their info after this as well.
So yeah, I think I got Brent. Yeah, I repost quite a bit from him now that I look at him. Like, oh, wait,
yeah, he's got awesome wrestling stuff, man. I mean, that guy's his attitude towards training and. It's great, man. And then Haddad's kind of making his way up, but I mean, he's up there. He's ranked pretty high in the BJJ world. So, but just some good dudes. So
awesome. Well, I'll be sure to link everything in the show notes and, Adam and the stories on Instagram as well. Cause yeah, I definitely want to get the word out on this and just get more eyes and exposure. Yeah.
No, I appreciate it
as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I finally asked. Is if anybody thinks it would help benefit somebody, share it up, man. Like, that's it. That's and if I can help with anything, feel free, reach out or any feedback. Like, I'm a white belt and everything, so
I think that's a great attitude to have too. Like you said, you're learning. We're always learning. So, we don't always have all the answers. So we can always stand to get some pointers and something new. So, thank you.
Until we get back in the corner.
Oh, yeah. Once I'm back down, it's like, all right, I'm an expert on all this shit. Even against Brock. I can't even imagine. Never mind. I'm going to stop using him as an example. It's like, if I try to bite him, I'm breaking
the teeth. Minnesota. We went up there for a duel, and he had just won his national title. Like, we're up there wrestling a duel, and it's like this giant banner. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I was a freshman, I think. It was pretty cool.
But it's like anytime I see older pictures of him, like high school wrestling and college wrestling, it's like, that is not a child.
Bro, yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, and to be so big and to move the way that he that he was
unbelievable.
This can't be right. there's a glitch in the matrix. Like, something's not right. Why is he like, I think when he transitioned to WWE, he's doing backflips off the top. I was like, no, yeah, that's terrifying to see something that big flipping at you in the air. It's like, nope, I'm going to self-checkout. I gotta go. All right, well, again, Isaac, thank you for doing this. I do appreciate you making the time and just, sharing, conversation with me, sharing your knowledge, with everyone that's listening here. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
No problem.
We'll keep in touch.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like I said, I'm gonna reach out with you know, any thoughts that literally flow from my brain as I'm, you know, messing with this. And also, you know, just our flow, our conversations, like, I love to have you back on. It's just like sitting here talking. It's like, oh my God, it's like, you remind me of, you know, one of the guys I grew up with. We grew up out somewhere else, and then he just happened by chance to move around the corner from me. So I was like, all right, well, shit, get the kids together. And like, they, you know, I actually grew up with his older brother. We went to high school together, and then the younger brother, we became friends after high school. And anytime we see each other at the bar, immediately we would wrestle, because like neither one of us wrestled, mind you, but it was just always a thing we did. We'd be at the bar, have a few beers, and then, all right, move these fucking tables. And it just became a thing. So that's how it goes. But thank you. And as always, to the listeners, if y'all got any questions, concerns, criticisms, always feel free to reach out. You can find me at bjj.wiki on Instagram, or you can find me at Off the Mats Podcast on Instagram. You can also email me at Off the Mats Podcast. Don't email me, because I don't know that I know. It might be Off the Mats 2020 at Gmail. Yeah, it's in the notes. It's somewhere. I'm on Instagram. Y'all can get me there. I want to give a big shout out to my crew over there at Nerd Rage Radio: Bobby, Chris, Joe, Marilyn Phil, Ricky Tiki, Raul, Chucky O, all the guys. There's a bunch of y'all. Sometimes I forget your names, but I love you guys. If it weren't for Nerd Rage Radio, I wouldn't be doing podcasts. So I appreciate those guys, and thank you so much for everything that you've done. And yeah, that's my crew. I also want to give a shout out to my other podcasts. So if you like horror, if you like scary movies, go check it out. I'm not sure where we're at right now, just because of the recording that we're doing right now. I could have just sat down with the director of Older Gods, and you might be listening to that episode, or that's upcoming. Or we could be doing a horror comedy episode. And we also got the Cursed Films episode coming up about The Crow. Since the 30-year anniversary is actually, what, May 11th that the movie came out. So, you know, there you go. Even though we're recording today on the 9th. So there you go. A little insider information there. You know when we're recording. If you want to follow that on Instagram, it's So You Like Horror. All the words separated by underscores. So go check it out, or go find a podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, wherever you listen to this podcast, as a matter of fact. And last but not least, I want to give a big shout out here to my guest, Mr. Isaac Knabel. See, the thing is, y'all going to see his name. Y'all going to think Knabel, because I did too. That he said you got to pronounce the K. So now he out here, he's confirming that I've been saying Knife correct my entire life. And my family's going to be so pissed, and that's fine. But big shout out to Isaac here, you know, for making the time and sharing his experience and his knowledge with us. So thank you for that again.
Appreciate it.
And as always, to you guys listening, I love you guys. Y'all put up with me, and I appreciate it. So you don't got to, but thank you. I don't know why y'all keep listening, but thank you so much. I appreciate it. We're going to keep doing these shows, though. I love it. So, as usual, you guys keep listening. We're going to continue to make these. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye.
Deep with it. Now let me sing a song.